Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hi, welcome once again to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I am your host, Adam Beebe. With me, as always, is your other host, Barry Johnston.
What is happening, man? How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Feeling good. It's a good day to be on a podcast. Every day is a good day, and every day is sunny or rainy, whatever you prefer in podcast land.
Yeah, there's no bad day, right?
Right.
We get on and we do our thing and we talk to great people and we share cool stories and get to know people, and this episode's no exception.
Yep. Today, Weirdsville, we have our first connection from Instagram. And I think it's our first. We may have had another one, but this is the first time that we've talked to Ashton, our guest. And Ashton comes, she found us on Instagram through our Instagram account, through hashtag tagged words that she follows. And Barry, she found us through the word shadow people.
Oh, that's great, man. I feel so like old and not advanced in technology because I don't do any of that. But the fact that she did find us that way is amazing, you know, and she really delivered, man. She's so fun to talk to, and you could tell she just really, she loves this subject.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, we've said it before, and I'll probably say it till the end of time. I'm just always pleasantly surprised with what people bring to the table, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every interview, every week that, you know, we've got every interview, it's amazing. It's just amazing stuff. And we've been very fortunate to hear all these stories and have these great guests. You know, we're still and looking forward to hearing more. So, you know, you guys out there, this is just more evidence of how we interact, this show is, how we work here. And we want to hear your stories. And, you know, hey, you know what? Doesn't have to be a weird story. Just if you got a good, true story, something that happened to you, we want to hear it and we'll get it out there for you.
Yeah, we'll find a spot for it. You know, even if it's not a real lengthy story, we'll find a spot for it, you know? You know, that's the thing, is that we try to take what people, you know, bring to us and find a space for it. Again, we're really just really fortunate to have had the people that we've had on, and look forward to having much more.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's get to our guest.
Ashton, what's your weird story?
Well, first I just want to say thanks for, you know, I guess listening.
Yeah.
I have two specific stories. The first one, this happened about December 2017, so it was a while back. But it was my first ever shadow experience. I was asleep, and I tend to wake up around 3 a.m. a lot.
You know, so the significance of that?
Yes.
Three in the morning is the witching hour.
Right.
That, and it's obviously another story in itself, but I see the number 333 a lot. So I've always kind of felt kind of close to the paranormal realm of things, I guess. I don't know, I just always felt very welcomed into it. And kind of like I felt one with it. But what really freaked me out is the first time I had my shadow experience, it freaked me out so bad. I was asleep. It was around 3:33 in the morning. I woke up in a stupor. I felt like just utter death was around me. I just felt like I was scared for my life. And I felt like somebody was watching me. Somebody's about to take my life. I can't explain it, but I've never been so scared in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I suddenly woke up. You know, I'm half asleep, but I'm so freaked out. I look to the left side of my bed. My room is so dark, but I see this crouching figure to the left of my bed. And it is so black that even though my room is so dark, I can literally see just this black mass. Oof. And I've never seen this before.
Wow.
This is my first time with a shadow experience. And so, go ahead.
I was going to ask, is because it sounds like the classic experience with the, where it's mm-hmm. you're the onset of the sleep paralysis, where you could you move or were you again?
So I could move, yes.
Okay.
So that was That was really weird because yeah. So I pretty much just I looked to my left, I sat up, and it was moving, but I think once I noticed it, it stopped. But the way I could describe it is, it looked like it was a person in a hoodie. Oh. Completely pitch black. So I literally thought there was someone in my room.
Yeah.
And
I'm getting the chills.
Trust me, I get the chills when I talk about it. But I love talking about it. It's like one of my favorite things to talk about. And so really I started freaking out. The weird thing was I have my dog. She's about a 60-pound lab mix. Mm-hmm. She sleeps with me. She's my protector. You know, if there's something not right, she'll protect me. And she gets very defensive. And she didn't make a peep. And normally, you know, as far as I know, and I would think that animals, you know, have that sense. Mm-hmm. And she did not make a peep until, you know, I'm kind of flailing around, you know, trying to find my lamp on the right side of my bed. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. What am I seeing? Am I dreaming? But, I struggled a little bit. And so I finally reached for my lamp, turn on the light. There was nothing there, but I was so terrified. I literally thought someone was in my room. I mean, I thought I was going to like get killed. I was so scared. Wow. And I have never experienced that in my life, and it was terrifying.
Wow! So, when did you start feeling like you had a connection with the supernatural at a young age, or was that something that came on later?
You know, I would always say maybe like at a young age, but as I got older, I started just kind of, I guess, becoming more intuitive with my feelings and. Yeah. You know, my liking for it. I've always loved spooky stuff. I've always loved Halloween. Yeah. Halloween's my favorite time of year. I love horror movies. Ever since I was a young kid, yeah. I've always liked stuff that seems scary to other people. Yeah. And it's weird, but when I was a kid, me and my dad, we'd go all out for Halloween, and that was my favorite time of year. And so I've always loved spooky stuff. So. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the shadow people thing is one of those real scary, scary situations because you don't know what you're dealing with there. And
for sure.
That is, you know, we've had a couple of stories. I don't know if you've heard them, but we've had a couple of people share some shadow people stories, and they are, you know, I think that's one of the genres that scares the hell out of me, you know?
Me too.
Totally agree. The creepiest stories are the shadow people.
Yes.
And anytime there's like some kind of ghost interacting with a little kid or something like that.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
Shadow people.
You just don't know, you know, what's real, what's not. Right. Am I crazy? You know, mm-hmm. And immediately after that, experience, I began going to Google, YouTube. Mm-hmm. I watched so many YouTube channels of people's experiences. I just read up on it. Go ahead.
Sorry, I interrupted you, but go ahead. You go ahead. You're the guest.
It's all good. I can talk all day, but really, I just kind of went. I dove deeper into it, did more research. And I found that it does happen to people. I'm not the first person to see this stuff.
Yeah.
So because I remember waking up, you know, I fell back asleep After, you know, I was freaking out. It took a while to go back to sleep, but it's just weird. I wanted to know more about it. And so I started realizing people have, if not the same experience, very similar, you know, and then it goes into the Hat Man. I haven't seen the Hat Man, but I've only seen the hooded figure.
Right.
And then, so with this experience, a month later, I had one more experience. And same thing, same deal. I woke up feeling like someone was watching me just utter death. Like I was about to get killed. Somebody was about to hurt me. And I woke up, but this time I wouldn't necessarily say I wasn't able to move, but I just kind of opened my eyes and was looking around. And then this time to the right of my bed, there's my wall. And, I managed to see this another shadow figure. This time it was much bigger. It was taller. Mm. And as soon as I noticed it, it grew all the way up to the ceiling.
Oh,
God. So, oh my God.
So it was really weird. It was really weird.
That's not what I want to see. I want to
know something really weird about the second experience was, I guess I was still kind of asleep. And I was scared, but then I felt comforted in a weird way. It was so weird. Huh. So, but other than that, I mean, I that night I was able to go to sleep easier, but it's just strange. It's very strange. And I haven't had any other shadow experiences like that.
Do you think that maybe the reason why you were able to process it is because you did a little more research on it,
it's possible. I mean, maybe feeling more comfortable with knowing maybe what this is.
Yeah.
You know, what the entity is. It's very possible.
Knowledge. I mean, the saying is knowledge is power. And, you know, what we, and also saying goes is that, you know, we fear the unknown.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, having a bit of knowledge can help you disarm that kind of mental bomb that is, that you can't process what the hell this blackness thing is, you know?
Yeah,
so
sure.
Having some kind of like a framework, you know, and this is what, why we, this is what our brains are here to do, to give us reference, to give us a framework to figure out where we are existing and what's happening in the moment of the universe. Did you have, in either of the experiences, was there any kind of did you feel any kind of physical contact, or was it just all of a sudden onset of dread?
You know, I wouldn't say there was any physical contact, but there was the onset of dread. I mean, I had goosebumps. I just had a feeling I'd never felt in my entire life, that I literally felt like I was going to be harmed, that my life was going to get taken. I can't explain it. It's just a weird, creepy feeling.
When the second being shadow, when it grew, did it have a discernible shape?
No, but this time, rather than a cloaked figure like my first experience, it was very, it's just a tall stick figure. Very skinny, very thin.
Wow.
Versus the first one was, it seemed like a decent human, like a regular size average human, that literally looked like he had a hoodie on. But the second one is very tall, very lean. And what, now that I'm thinking about it, I can't remember exactly how long after these experiences, but I actually had a very vivid dream about being on an operating table. And I just remember everything was white. Everything was very white. The walls, the table itself, you know, the doctors around me, they had their masks on. And they were, I had the sense that they were operating on me. It kind of was similar to like a 40s lobotomy.
Okay.
I just kind of felt like I was very loopy and out of it, but I was looking around. But everything was white, even the instruments, everything.
Mm.
And actually, it was very vivid. But I remember, I bring that up because I woke up. I woke myself up because I started talking in my sleep. And I woke up and stared at the ceiling. I realized I was talking to the ceiling. And then I just kind of dozed back off. But for some reason, I remember that. So that kind of just freaks me out a little bit. But I've also done some more diving in my research that there is a theory of shadow people being, I guess, aliens or ETs. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of just kind of, yeah. I don't know.
That's the road that I was getting ready to start steering us down. And I was going to ask you what your thoughts on that is, on the ET, the possible connection, because often in the sleep, mm-hmm. when someone experiences a sleep paralysis, sometimes people see the shadow beings, sometimes people see a demon, and yeah. sometimes people see aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you if you've seen any kind of UFOs, if you've had missing time, if you've had anything that kind of correlates along with those, because that whole dream of being on the operating table is, again, something that correlates weird. Along with a lot of abduction stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had missing time. I don't know what happened in that time, but I've had missing time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that seems to me that, you know, again, it might have been something that your brain is putting the framework on. This tall, slender man, this thing, not slender man, that's a whole other thing.
Oh, yeah, but sure.
The tall, there's just shadow people, the paralysis, the tall things, the operating room, and, you know, just, you know, who, I just.
Very it's strange. It's,
yeah, very strange.
The connection.
You know, the other thing, too, is the brain, you know, we don't know a ton about what happens in the brain in the sleep mm-hmm. state. But there are some thoughts out there about DMT flooding the brain. Mm-hmm. DMT, you know, is supposedly produced by the pineal gland that's in the center of the brain. They believe that floods the brain whenever you die. And but they also think that it could be part of the chemistry that gets involved when you're dreaming. And the fact that you're waking up really late at night from a sleep state and you're connecting with those things, there's no telling how many levels and layers there are to that.
I mean, it's definitely one of those things where I think our brains as humans, we have so much potential and we just don't know how much potential, you know. It's really interesting.
It's almost like we're not allowed to unlock that for a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know? Exactly.
My thoughts exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like, think about it in this way. Think about how, if we were allowed to access that kind of thing, you know, and that kind of higher consciousness mm-hmm. as people describe it as, you know, but yet, and that connectedness to the universe, think about how we are presently, and how we aren't even really ready for the internet.
No.
How terribly we behave on the internet towards each other, you know, because we don't have to actually see each other, you know, deal with each other physical, you know, and it's, you can do whatever you want on the internet and be anonymous, and you can, you know, be, you know, a cancer, or you can be, you know,
with no repercussions.
And
you don't get the social cues from each other. You don't, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, a lot of times, like we talk about people in love, you know, like what is that thing? Well, part of that's chemistry. Part of that is that, like, you actually produce a hormone in your body when you see the person that you love, that you connect with, and it gives you a feeling. And when you're talking to people face to face, you're subtly telling me things that I can pick up on, and it's telepathically or vibes or whatever you want to call it. I mean, we all have that. Some people are ignorant to those things, but the majority of people can pick up on those things. So I think it's there. You know, it's definitely there. It's up to the individual to learn how to express those things and how to understand those things, you know?
Right, so. Exactly. And talking about that, ever since these experiences, I've kind of started realizing, you know, and I I'm starting to get more comfortable talking about it, but I start to realize that I'm very, what's the word I'm looking for? I go off energy a lot.
Yeah.
I can feel energy in things.
You're an empath.
Receptive. That's the word I was looking for. And I've done more research on that too. And it kind of makes sense. You know, I'm still trying to figure everything out, you know, like what's real, what's not, you know, what do I want to believe? And, so it's definitely kind of opened that realm for me from these experiences, I will say, you know, being as weird as they have been. But I will say, you know, sometimes I don't know if the shadow people or what, but they like to play games with me. I'll see them in the corner of my eyes a lot, or they'll, like a lot of times when I was a vet tech at the clinic. So on the weekends I would go up there and, you know, take care of the animals, just by myself. I worked on call a lot. So if I had sick animals in the hospital, I'd go up there by myself, give them meds, and I can go home when we are closed. And a lot of times, you know, they would make stuff fall off the shelf, or if I walked past something, it would fall. Or and I also started noticing, even if it was busy, if I was in a room by myself, something would move, something would, it's just weird.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard to, you know, explain it to people. And I understand that some people don't always, they're like, well, obviously there's got to be some kind of, you know, reason for it. But I don't know. I just get these feelings that something else is out there, something else. There's a whole nother world of things that we don't know.
Yeah.
And then Adam, speaking on if I've seen UFOs when I was a kid. So long story short.
No. Hold on.
Yeah,
stop right there. Long story long. We want the long story long.
I gotcha.
This is a podcast. We're cool, all about cool. The story.
Awesome. All right.
Long story long. Give me the whole thing.
All right. Well, so talking about it. So UFOs. So obviously I told you guys I'm an Air Force kid. I grew up for a couple of years at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio.
Ah, yes. I'm in Cincinnati, so I'm
yes.
had a friend who worked there at Wright-Patterson for a while. And Barry, do you know? I don't know. You're probably going to drop this significance. Do you know the significance of the Wright-Patterson Base?
No. Inform me, sir.
The Wright-Patterson Base is supposedly, quote unquote, air quotes, that's the base that they sent the wreckage from Roswell.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have a lot of crazy stuff. I like to say it's like a mini Area 51, maybe even a bigger thing of Area 51.
Okay. Or maybe even the actual Area 51.
Or maybe knows. The actual, yeah. You know? Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. But you know what's weird? So lately I've had a lot of more... sorry, my boyfriend's taking out our puppies. We have two puppies. I've been having a lot more drive to research more on UFOs lately. So I've been listening to a lot of different podcasts, different YouTube videos and things like that. And I only just recently put two and two together. So the reason I'm saying this, so when I was a kid, I lived on Wright Pat, and that's where I saw my first UFO, and well, first and only. I haven't seen another UFO that I can remember. My sister and I, we were probably, let's see, I was probably around fifth grade. What age is that? I can't think. Like maybe 11 or 12.
Fifth grade, yeah. It's 10, 11, yep.
Yeah, and so she, my sister's 2 years younger than me. We were both in our backseat. I think we were in a car driving. I think we are going to our babysitter's house or whatever. But so both of us were looking up in the sky, and we're driving in Dayton, so not far from Wright Pat. And we both see the same UFO. It's disc shaped. It has four distinct lights on the bottom. Very small, but it was just flying around, and me and my sister, we both saw it. The person, I think it was my dad who was driving, but he didn't see it, but me and my sister distinctly both saw it. And to this day, you know, I ask her, I'm like, you do remember that, right? I'm not the only one who saw that. And she says, yes, I do remember that. Uh-huh. And So going back to, you know, my research lately, putting two and two together with Wright-Patterson and seeing the UFO around Wright-Pat, it just makes sense now. Mm-hmm. So it's just super weird. Yeah,
that is weird. That is weird. But not uncommon. Not uncommon.
Right. Not at all. Right. Not at all.
I've also had a UFO experience. And I consider myself to be a fairly grounded individual, but sure. My God, it happened. And my dad also was there to verify it. And so, you know, I mean, what it is, we don't know. It could be something that our government's working on, but mm-hmm. it could also be something else. It could be they found technology that they're trying to recreate.
Right.
It could be so many things. I mean, but regardless, it's fascinating, and it's a subject that has always fascinated me because I've always been really intrigued by outer space, and I think, you know, I could speak for Adam on that, too. I think we grew up sort of, like, intrigued in like, what is out there, and it's just, how could we be, you know, the only creatures in this vast, vast space?
So exactly.
I don't discount any of that, you know.
Well, it's just like, you know, I can't remember what I was listening to the other day, but somebody said, I can't remember his name, but he pretty much said, you know, there's so much evidence out there that these beings do exist. And there's if you don't believe in it, there's no reason you can't. I mean, there's so much evidence out there that just relates back to look, this stuff is real. This technology is out here.
Right.
It's just all about, you know, are you going to put yourself into that pot?
One of the things that's always fascinated me, we've touched on this before a little bit, is that it's amazing that no matter what the human mind can conjure up, we're able to produce. Like,
definitely.
What are we tapping into there? Like, you know, is it a limited piece of knowledge that we're able to get into? Are we only limited by our own frame of reference? You know, because like, you know, the early sci-fi writers, they came up with some pretty crazy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? For sure.
And the fact that we are like, we live on these things.
Yeah. I know. Blows my mind to this day.
It's incredible. I'm holding up a cell phone, by the way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for the listeners there, Barry was holding up a cell phone and not just a, you know, not a terminal or something.
It's just like, you know, we always joke, you know, our teachers growing up in math class, you're not going to have a calculator, so you need to know how to do this. Right. We're like, oh, now we have supercomputers.
Yeah, we don't even need a brain anymore. I mean, you know, we don't even have to think and remember things. We just Google it.
Exactly.
So it feels like a great accomplishment to actually know something, you know? Yeah. And probability, just by probability in the, because we know that the universe, is massive. We can't even conceive of how big it is, how really, really, really big it is, and all the stuff that's in it, you know, and for us to just, I mean, for us to say that we're the only one is so arrogant, but it's also so purely human to assume that,
right?
You know, for us to say that the Earth is the center of the universe, and that there's nothing else out there is so arrogant and so human. Mm-hmm. And once, because you know, I believe when it happens, I don't know, but at some point in time, if we still exist as a species on this planet, and we do come into interaction with other species from other planets that are intelligent, you know, they're going to look at us and they're going to laugh and they're going to be like, boy, yeah, it's like,
I agree.
Well, it's a good thing we found the center of the universe. You know?
It's so true.
It's so flat.
That's a whole nother thing.
That's another can of worms. Yeah.
Oh, man. I saw something pretty funny the other day. It's like somebody needs to make a reality show of flat earthers. you know, trying to find where the Earth's flat.
Yeah, it's phenomenal because I've done the deep dive on some of that stuff, man. And it's like, it's just hilarious because it's like a bunch of people like me who have no scientific background trying to go out and prove that the fucking Earth is flat. You know what I mean? Like,
no, Barry, it's people who have probably less of a scientific background than you do.
Oh, God.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's the people who did not pay attention in seventh grade science, you know?
Yeah.
That's one my dad taught, by the way. And, you know, and it's like, I just, you know.
What would your dad think, dude?
Oh, my. I think my dad would probably laugh in disbelief. I think he just.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some of the stuff that.
Yeah. Okay, we're going back to the Dark Ages, so.
Yeah. You
know. Oh, man. Well, wow. So, I mean, great. Just, Ashton, you're just a pleasure to talk to. I mean,
yeah, this has been a lot awesome. Of fun.
So. I'm glad to hear that, and I appreciate you guys, you know, hooking this up.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, hey, you're welcome here anytime, by the way.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Do you have anything more for us, or is that...
Honestly, I mean, I think that's about it. I mean, I'm just kind of living every day and just...
That's the best way to do it.
You know, trying to... do more research and really just become more immersed in it. I mean, I love talking about this stuff, paranormal, you know, the weird, the strange, that's all stuff I love and I've always loved.
Cool.
So,
well, hey.
Heck yeah.
Thanks for reaching out to us and being with us on the show. It's been a pleasure. Before we go, I forgot to ask if our last couple of guests this, but this is a standard thing. But when you were little, did you ever play any of the weird, spooky games? You know, like light as a feather, stiff as a board,
yes,
or Bloody Mary.
Both of those. Yes.
Oh, okay. Did you get it to work? Did either one of those work for you?
So let me say, Bloody Mary never really worked for me, but I do remember. We used to do light as a feather, stiff as a board, me and like all of my friends, you know, we'd get in a circle and we'd have one of us in the middle. And I swear it would work. I just remember it working. I mean, it's like you use two fingers for each person on the person and that's laying down. And for some reason, I just remember it would come up.
That's so wild.
It's so weird.
Wow.
And you know, here's the thing. Also, I want to point this out that I don't think little boys play light as a feather, stiff as a board.
I can't see that they did either.
I really think it's like just a little girl sleepover game. And I wonder if there's like something that's in it that women can do that. I don't know. Who knows?
It doesn't matter. Maybe we come from a line of witches. I don't know.
It could be. I'm just saying. I was trying to be a little more subtle when I was pointing at that.
Hey, like you said, like that's not going to offend me. So
no.
I mean, like I said, I'm very open to all of that. So, but it did. I just remember it would blow my mind, Just thinking about it to this day, you know, I swear I remember it working. I remember. And we did it many times.
Wow. That's great.
And like you said, it was always a sleepover thing.
Yeah. That's great.
So weird.
when you did Bloody Mary, did you, what was your procedure? Because we find it varies from place to place, with how people do the summoning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, so what was your method? Do you remember the process?
What I do remember is that we would get, you know, obviously in the bathroom in front of a mirror, mm-hmm. Pitch black, dark, turn off the lights. Say, I guess what we would do is Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. But I remember just being scared. I think it's just strictly because of being in the dark.
Yeah.
But that's what I remember is how we would do it. Just turn off the lights.
So did you... So you would just look at the mirror or would you turn around or anything like that? Or is it just looking at the mirror?
What I remember is that we were
saying the name three times. Okay.
Yeah. Looking at the name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that I want to say that's what it was. I think you said it and then you turned around.
That's what we did. You as you're saying it, you're turning around. So you turn around three times, and then look in the mirror, and then whatever happened, you know.
That sounds familiar. Turning around, can't remember though, but that sounds familiar for some reason. But
I never ever got anywhere near saying it three times or doing it right.
It was scary.
Or anything like that. I was way too scared. way too scared of potentially being thing like that. But I also had a very vivid and very active imagination as a little kid.
Sure.
So, you know, that was enough to do it. So.
I do remember when I was a kid, I was terrified of the dark. Very scared. But... yeah, I've always loved spooky shit. Yeah,
that's great. Now,
since you've had these two experiences with the shadow people, do you sleep with a nightlight?
No.
Okay. Just curious. It just occurred to me because you were saying when you were a little kid, you were scared of the dark, and I definitely was, and I had a nightlight
when I was a kid.
And I still tend to sleep like with the TV on or something like that because if I wake up and sometimes it'll take me a while to like really like process where I'm at. And if I wake up and it's totally dark, then I get kind of discombobulated and disoriented. And if I have a light on or something, I recognize my surroundings and I know where I'm at.
Yeah.
So,
when you say you like to sleep with the TV on, I don't have a TV in my room, but I'll have my laptop and I'll have like Netflix on or something. I do find it that is comforting for me to go to sleep, you know, hearing something. But as far as leaving a light on, I don't necessarily need that. But I will say, you know, going back to my experiences, I will wake up in the odd hours of the night. And I just feel like something's watching me. I haven't had any shadow experiences, but I just feel like something is there. Something is around me, and it just wakes me up. And at that point, I do get that creepy feeling where I'm like, okay, I'm kind of weirded out. But in that case, I'll just either try to go back to sleep or I'll just put on Netflix again. But as far as leaving a night light on or something, I don't feel the need to do that.
Good. Good.
That's good. Yeah. That's good because that shows you're at least secure okay.
It is just because I'm starting to realize, you know, these beings are around me. And I'm trying to realize, look, I don't need to be scared unless I feel scared. Because I'm a firm believer. I think there's spirits all over the place. I mean, being how old the world is, there has to be. And I will say I am confident that I do know when something's around, especially around me. But in reality, I mean, I think I'm just kind of coming to terms with what's around me as far as, you know, waking up in the middle of the night. But the only time I've ever been truly scared was those shadow experiences. And it's only been twice.
Yeah. Well, so, be careful with those things, you know?
Yeah.
For sure.
You don't need to be, I definitely am of the belief that if you feel something that is a darkness or a negative energy or something scary, you don't need to go chasing after it.
No way. And that's the thing.
To make sure that's what it is.
For sure. And people will ask me, what are you scared of? You know, are you scared of monsters or whatever? And I always say demons. Demons scare the crap out of me, dude. Negative spirits, I malicious spirits, whatever you want to call them. I do not mess around with those. I mean, if I feel something's evil, I try not to mess with it.
Yeah, that's good.
And those were the two times with those shadows that I felt that.
Yeah.
And just, I kind of left it alone. You know, I kind of gave it a chance. Mm-hmm. And I haven't experienced them again. But.
Yeah, that's good.
I agree with you guys on that. I think it's definitely easy to get caught up in those things if you're not careful.
From what I understand, I'm no expert in that field, but from what I understand, there can be capable of producing a lot of different types of emotions.
Oh, yeah.
And so positivity could be one of those to lure you in, you know.
For sure.
Yeah. So just, definitely be careful. So
definitely.
Well, cool. Okay, Ashton, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys. And
seriously, if you ever want to come back on, you got any other things that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome, you know.
For sure. Hey, on that note, I'd love to talk about black-eyed children.
Oh,
you heard of those?
Okay.
Yeah. That's really
another
cool
thing I find interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely would love to hear somebody have a black-eyed children story.
I know, me too.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Those are so freaky.
So anybody out there listening, if you've experienced black-eyed children, you should definitely get a hold of us and reach out because we want to hear those, because those are incredible stories. They are freaky. They are weird. And if you haven't heard about this, do some research. And there's some good places, good podcasts that talk about this stuff. So, yeah, check it out. Cool. All right. Well, thanks again. It's been a pleasure. And it's been a great conversation. So it's been a lot of fun.
I love it. I love talking about this stuff. Yeah. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ashton.
Well, you know, tell your friends, you know, see if anybody else has got any cool stories to share with us, we'll get them on as well.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEO. -weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors. Barry, what do you think that people find the most far-fetched? Ghost stories or aliens as being the more unbelievable?
I would say aliens.
You know, I would agree with that probably too, because I think with ghosts, there's a part of the belief system that is abound throughout the world, and we want to have some kind of assurance of some form of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with aliens, it's unknown for sure. It's completely unknown. We have only our imagination. We don't have a lot of universal stories that we agree upon that these things exist, maybe.
To believe in aliens is to believe that we are not the sole existence of this world, which goes against a lot of belief systems.
It definitely does. But, you know, the great thing about what we're doing here is we are open to all your stories about ghosts or aliens or anything in between or anything outside of. We're not here to judge. We're here to just talk and to share. And we don't want you to think you're crazy, because you're not.
Wow. Ashton, thank you so much for you know, sharing those crazy stories, man. And she had some real creepy shadows people stories.
Yeah, dude.
You know, those stories continue to be the ones that I am most sort of terrified of, you know?
Man, when she talked about the second one where it just shot up to the sides of the ceiling. God. Oh, dude, that's just... I've got a very vivid imagination, you know, being an artist, and I can just see that and just creepsville, man. Yeah. Just creeps me out. That's weirdville on the whole other level, man. And, but, fantastic, Fantastic stories. Great conversation overall. Great guests. Thank you for being on. And we really appreciate it. And, you know, again, you know, hey, if you follow us on Instagram, shoot me a message. I do all the, you know, Barry's a busy man. I take care of all the social media. So shoot me a message and we'll get you on the show. And, you know, or just, you know, if you want to talk, whatever, you know, we'll just, we'll, you know, we'll see what we can do, you know, and it's cool, you know, I mean, because that's how we connect here in the 21st century. And but we're keeping it very old school by just talking to each other with our mouths and sharing stories the traditional oral history way. And that's just, it's just so much fun, and it's so much more human, and it's just so connecting. And I love that, man. I love, you know, talking to all the new people, our new friends that we meet here on the podcast, and then also with when we have old friends on too.
It's just, and Ashton's a great example of a new friend that reached out, and she, she really, you know, hit it out of the ballpark. She was
absolutely,
you know, very comfortable, and you know, and I think some of that has to do with the way that we do things. We've talked before about, you know, just we hang out a little bit before we ever do any of the rolling. You know, we before we're ever rolling audio, before we're doing any of that, we kind of get to know each other. And we and again, we don't know a whole lot about the story. You know, you if you book them, you probably know a bit more than I do. But there, we still like to leave that that little room for the punchline as it were. That's what makes it fun, and she just she was great. And you know, anyone out there listening that might have any interpretations at all about coming on, just know that, you know, it's possible to do it and have fun. And once you get done, I think you find that you want to keep talking, you want to keep sharing, you know.
It's always a lot of fun, and even on this side I sometimes will get a little bit nervous about sitting down, you know, but it's like, you know, we take the time beforehand to make sure everybody's good and comfortable. If you decided to come on and you just are not feeling the vibe, you know, that's cool. We don't, we're not, we don't, we're cool. We're easygoing guys. We hope you picked up on that, but we're definitely easygoing guys. And, you know, we want to make you comfortable. We want you to make you enjoy the experience and feel, you know, the comfort that so you can share your stories, weird or otherwise. So
That's right. And if you just can't do it, write in, in, and we'll get Mr. Hubbard on it, and we'll do our take on your story, you know.
He is chomping at the bit to tell some more stories
for sure.
So especially ladies, if you like to, would you like to write in? For some reason he likes pretending to be a lady.
Hey.
So, on air. So, no. anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks, Ashton, for being a great guest. And we got a lot of good stuff coming down the line. So just keep on listening. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your families, tell your mom if she's cool. If she doesn't mind us cussing, that's fine. You know, tell everybody and spread the word, and go and check out our t-shirt shop online and all the cool stuff we do, and tell us your stories. So thanks, Weirdsville. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.